Welcome to another episode of Learn with Bestern, where we discuss the latest trends in leadership development, self-development, as well as well-being. There's so much information out there. We want to make sure we bring in the latest insights and research based on neuroscience and behavior change to give you the tools that you need to make a change in your personal and professional lives. Join us on a journey to learn more. We hope you enjoy this episode, and don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with others that might find it helpful. So there's something that we've shifted with us from the physical office to our remote workspaces that we're in at the moment. And that is this notion of presentism, where we're sitting in front of our desk, but perhaps we have too many other things occupying our mind. Maybe we have a long list of things that we have to do, which kind of paralyzes us. Perhaps some of us might be on the verge of just kind of feeling that burnout from the Zoom meetings, for example. So this notion of presentism really has shifted from the physical space to our remote workforce. And there's this term for it now. It's called e-presentism, Yvonne. So, and it's and I wonder, like, surely we're all zoomed out. Absolutely, there are moments where we just you know one Zoom call after another, and it becomes very difficult to sort of manage your energy. And as we were talking before we started recording this, is to manage that presence that you have, because it takes so much energy to be able to observe people virtually and try to pick up all the cues that we would naturally pick up when we're in actual physical spaces together. So I'm just curious if there are things that we can do to minimize the impact of this e-presentism, of zoomed out, the zoomed out reality that we're living in right now.
Elena, what we have to consider is that the brain is not made to deal with several tasks in parallel. So we need to do one task at the same time. Now, what happens is that when we are in the dialogue, in a remote dialogue, our brain needs to process a lot of information. All these cues that you give me with your body language, with tone of voice, how you are, to where you are looking, have to be processed in our brain. So while I'm listening to you, it is and I'm observing you, it is not the natural path that we have in the physical world to observe. So there is a filter. So this filter, in fact, is loading our brain with too much information. So this is number one. Number two, everybody has a little bit of this social anxiety of public speaking. So suddenly, in the physical world, if you want, you could be sitting in the side and nobody's looking at you. Here in Zoom, I have you in front of me all the time. So somebody's paying attention absolutely to what I'm doing, and this is a little bit timing because we are self-conscious of what we are doing, and so it produces anxiety. And it's a good parallel to put with the actual presenteeism, a plague that is invading all of our working place, where people are not fully there. When they are present at work, they are not at their best, and because of this continuous requests, demands that are happening, and that freezes you in front of this of the screen. So things that we need to consider when we are in front of a digital tool in communication is that we have to reduce the number of the time that we have this interaction. The longer the time, the more fatigue is going to provide to your brain, because remember that we are still processing information. I'm still observing you. Did you give me any signal that I have to process in my brain? So the multitasking is all the time working. And this is where our level of energy goes down. So we need to have breaks. One of the biggest breaks is the one of limiting the amount of time the duration of an engagement. Now, we need to be also like, it depends on the two sides. The one broadcasting the information in order to make it shorter, and on me, on the person attending that meeting. I need to be mindful that when I feel tired, I should be able to turn off the camera. Why not? One of the things also that produces fatigue is the fact that I'm continuously self-aware of the image of myself that I have in front of me. It's like having a continuous mirror in front of me. So I'm always comparing, checking what I'm doing while I'm paying attention to your voice and to your signals. So turning off the cameras from time to time for a couple of seconds, just to give the option to the brain to take a break, it is quite important. Now, what we have seen is that already people are recognizing that this is something quite important, and we need to mine as best as we can the natural environment. That is why, for instance, we have seen some tools appearing, in fact, for trainings in class, for trainings for schools, for universities. There are tools that are completely miming the situation, a natural situation of having people sitting around, having interactions that are more natural, in order that students do not get this fatigue that we in the workplace are having. So I'm quite hopeful that tools like that are going to appear more and more for the workplace, in order to monitor how long time we are online, to not notice if we are really focused on what we are supposed to do in front of the computer, in order to avoid this e-presentism. I love this new word. So with new benefits of working from home, we have a price to pay, which is this constant mental fatigue. Hopefully, this will find a solution soon.